Welcome, everybody, to another installment of the Vinyl Community Podcasts. I'm your host, Rob, from the YouTube channel Northern Revolutions. I am joined today by a new special guest, Racer Joe from the Vinyl Community YouTube channel, Racer Records. Welcome, Joe.
Thank you very much, Rob. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
No problem, man. I've enjoyed the discussions that we've had in the past, and I thought you would be a great guest for an episode of the podcast. So, I mean, there's any one of countless topics we could discuss, but I was looking online the other day at a few vinyl box sets, and I got thinking to myself, that's something we should talk about. So, I mean, the easiest question right off the hop, are you a guy that does a lot of box sets?
I have a few. I don't have a lot. And to be honest, I think I've only specifically purchased one. I've got a bunch. And when I say specifically, meant purposely went and bought it. There's right. A bunch I have that I've picked up along the way that have been in collections and things like that. So I have some. I don't have a ton, to be honest. I've got, you know, I've got Pearl Jam. I've got some Grateful Dead ones. I've got the new Tina Turner. But again, there's really only the Grateful Dead is the only one that I went, okay, I'm going to go and specifically buy that box set. So that was the long answer to, yes, I have a few box sets.
Perfect. Well, it's a good answer because I think that gives us some talking points. I guess sort of to start off with, I mean, when I was kind of ruminating on this topic, I mean, I think there's kind of a couple different sort of vinyl box sets that you tend to see. There's sort of what I would call sort of the compilation box sets, you know, the collection of studio albums, for example. I mean, everybody knows the, you know, the Beatles mono box that's highly sought after, or the original stereo box, or, you know, the band did their Capitol Records albums in a box. There's that kind of a box set. And right. Then there's the, I'll call it the super deluxe or the archival box sets, which are, you know, they tend to be anniversary releases of an album with, you know, extra stuff in them. And I think that there's a discussion to be had on both of those. Do yours fit into either one of those? Do you predominantly lean one way or the other?
Well, again, for the few that I have as an example, I've got the Pearl Jam one, which is 10 remastered, and there's live, and then there's a whole bunch of other stuff. So we'll call that one of the other stuff box sets. I'm not sure if that's the right way, but you know what I mean.
Sure,
well,
I have super deluxe archival. Yeah, sure.
Exactly. You know, it's got a keychain in it. It's got the cassette. It's got the CD. It's got all of that. And then the most recent one that I actually purchased was the Tina Turner, which is more of a compilation. It's not, I guess there might be a third category, because there's the compilation ones where it's all of her songs on five albums, but it's not specifically five albums of hers, right? Because there's those. There's the first eight Queen records. That's a box set. The Beatles, you said. Then there's, like I say, there's the Tina Turner's, where it's a retrospective of her career on five albums in a box, right?
That's a good point. I've got that Clapton did that gray Crossroads one in the late 80s, which is what, six LPs. And it's, you know, there's some of his Blues Breakers stuff and some of his, you know, kind of everything that he had done up to that point. And you're right. So, yeah, I guess you kind of call it like an anthology compilation box. Or,
right. Yeah. When you get a big enough catalog, you can do that, you know, or like Springsteen. I've got the Springsteen, which is the five discs, the five live discs, right?
So, I want to get that because I'm, as you probably have heard, I'm on a big Springsteen kick right now.
Yes. Yeah. It's very good because it's done well, because it was done forever ago. You know, I think it would be one of the first box sets, we'll call it. Again, it was just because you could have, you know, Bruce Springsteen could be five albums live every night, maybe, if you recorded it every night, right? So, so there's that. So if I leaned towards one more than the other, I would probably have, or I guess the two. So where, you know, I didn't have much Queen. So, you know, I got the Queen box set, and I didn't have a lot of Tina Turner, so I got the compilation one. I don't have a bunch of What's an example? Well, you mentioned a couple of them where it's a single album, but then they stretched it out and they give you a live one in there and they do all the rest of those things. I don't have a bunch of those. I've got, you know, a couple. Like, I guess Pearl Jam would fall under that category.
Right. I'm sort of the opposite way, actually. Those super deluxe archival, you know, one album extra stuff. I have several of those and I quite like those. Yeah. I don't have any compilation box sets in terms of a collection of studio albums. I have all the Beatles mono remasters, but I didn't buy the box back in 2012 or 14, whenever it was they came out, simply because I couldn't afford it. I bought them all individually. So I don't have that box.
No, I don't either. No,
I do have, that Clapton Crossroads sort of anthology sort of box sets, but I really lean to those album super deluxe, you know, special edition kind of things. But it's got to be obviously an album that I'm very keen on. So
I can't remember. Are you a Zeppelin fan? And with that said, do you have some of those? Because there's the ones that Jimmy Page did, right?
Right.
Where I would consider those a box set. They're still a version of an album, but there's all the extra stuff that goes along with, right?
I would call myself a casual Zeppelin fan. I have some of their studio albums, original pressings from back in the day. I don't have any of the box set, you know, remastered whatevers.
Right.
Really appreciate them as a band. I think they're just one of those ones that when I'm looking at my records, I don't often go, oh, I want to listen to some Led Zeppelin. But when it comes on the radio, I love it. Not that I listen to the radio that much. So, no, I don't have any of those. But
I don't know why I used it as an example, because I don't either. But I thought maybe you might. I wasn't sure. So, but yeah, you know, another example, and I should stop bringing up examples because you've probably got them yourself. But the most recent Van Halen, the Sammy Hagar years, you know, for Unlawful Carnal Knowledge and what was the one right before that? OU812,
right,
were kind of harder to come by. So that's a great box set to get because those two are in there. And eventually, I think I saw they're going to re-release them as well, because you're paying big bucks for a copy of For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge in decent shape.
Right.
You're paying almost as much for an original one of those as you are for the box set that also has 5150 and Balance. Actually, Balance is the other one.
Right.
OU812 is easy to get, or not bad. I've got it. But Balance and For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge. And then they threw in the extras disc. So that's a good one. And that's one I've kind of looked for. I've kind of been waiting for it to get on sale a little bit. But
sure. I think the rise in popularity of box sets, I mean, I think that's really been a last sort of, 5-7 year kind of thing. I mean, there were box sets, but not to the extent they are now. And I wonder if that's, I wonder what drives that. Is it just the nature of the vinyl resurgence? Is it that there's more people into the music now and they're looking to dig a little deeper? Or is it that people have more money to spend on records? I don't know. I'm curious what your thoughts on that might be.
Yeah, it's all of the above, right? Yeah. Because we do have a little more somewhat disposable income to buy those specific ones that we want, or to catch up on some albums where maybe we don't have much of their collection. And I think for the newer generation, now you're much younger than me, not a whole bunch younger than me.
I'm considerably younger than you.
Well, okay, fine. We'll go with considerably younger.
I wish I was. I'm in my mid-40s, so.
Yeah, and I'm closer to 60. So let's say there's another generation younger than you.
Right.
So they're not going to have anywhere to start with. You probably had a few around. You know, I had my stuff from original back in the 70s and the 80s. But they're starting from scratch. So all of a sudden they go, oh, man, I love Queen. So again, instead of trying to find those eight or whatever it is, they buy the nice box set. They're all colored vinyl. There's books. There's all the things they get to learn everything that they want to learn about Queen all in one shot, and they can do it at one time. So I think that's maybe driving some of the box set sales, is that generation of collector, fan, listener, whatever you want to call it. So
I think you're right. I think the other thing that is maybe driving it is, I mean, I think there's, and I could be wrong in this. I'm totally talking out of my butt, but I kind of have this perception that there's sort of almost two distinct people in the hobby. There's those of us in our age bracket, let's say 40 plus, 35 plus, that this, sure. You know, and then there's, you know, I'm going to call them the Taylor Swift generation, the people that
millennials,
are
millennials, whatever, sure. Right? I think millennials would be an appropriate term, but right. Yes, go and ahead.
They're discovering it for a whole new, you know, the novelty of putting this shiny disc on this turntable and it spins, you know, like it's a new thing. And I kind of think that maybe part of the box set, especially when we're talking about, you know, these one album, super deluxe, you know, extra stuff kind of things. I wonder if that's old farts like you and I that have listened to those albums for decades. And all of a sudden you're throwing something in addition to, and we kind of go, ooh, you know, I got to have that.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah. They're doing that a little bit with the triple albums as well. I know we're talking about box sets, but like as an example, I think there's a brand new Billion Dollar Babies by Alice Cooper that's coming out. So it's the original album remastered, all of those things. Then there's a bunch of outtakes. Then there's also a third album. So it's not a box set per se, but it's bordering on that.
I would say it's pretty close.
Yeah, because the third one's a live album from Texas from the 70s. You know, there's a brand new booklet. There's the Billion Dollar Bill, and it's still, it's just, you know, it's this thick instead of this thick, right? So it's still, you know, those fall under box set type
I would say so,
category,
sure.
As well, right?
Well, so that kind of guides and leads into another question that I was thinking about. I mean, these things are not cheap. I mean, it's no. Not uncommon to pay $200 for a box set.
Yeah.
You know, it's not unheard of. It's crazy, really, when you think about it. But
it is. No, I agree. Yeah,
we've probably all done it.
Yeah.
So my question is, if you're going to shell out $200 for a box set that's not 10 records, right? Like we're talking one of these super deluxe kind of box sets,
right?
What makes a box set good value at that high price tag that they often carry? What do you want to see in there to make it worth your while?
Well, I think the go-to for a lot of them is there's a live set in there, right? There's a lot of them that the third disc or the fourth disc is a live disc from somewhere that was a good recording. You know, they recorded off the soundboard. It's well done. It's well produced-ish. They've cleaned it up and they've put it out there. So I think that's a big draw for a lot of people. You know, as far as the booklets and the other gear, like keychains and all of that, you know, it's great. I love it. And I've got some. But how many new pictures of Kiss do I want to see, right? I mean, there's no picture that I haven't seen or haven't imagined or whatever. So I really think that they need to focus. Or what would draw me in is all if there was some really good live, and of course the outtake stuff, right? I know there's remastered stuff. I know there's that, and that's great because it's cleaned up and it sounds better, maybe different. I don't know. But yeah, again, it would be the outtake stuff and different versions, right? There's that too. There's outtakes or there's songs that never made the album. They were written for it, but they never made it, and they never made it to subsequent albums either. So I like a live album along with a live set. And then I like, again, outtakes, different versions of the songs, because that's always fun, right? Because we have heard that song we love over and over and over, and we'll still listen to it. But to hear a different version, or maybe how it was supposed to sound, and someone went, no, I don't think so. Like a producer went, no, that sucks. Let's do it this way. And somebody went along with it. Now they get the opportunity. No, screw it. I'm putting up my version that I wanted to. Here it is to the world. We don't get that on the radio enough either, because I bet there's a lot of that out there. And again, how often do we listen to the radio, but still.
Right. I never listen to the radio, but
no, in my car.
I don't even listen to it in my car, but
yeah.
I've got my digital library in there and I listen to my digital music.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, the radio.
But yeah. I'm not too dissimilar from you. I think I want, if I'm going to spend $200, $250 on a box set, I want some stuff in there to listen to that I don't already have. Yeah. I don't care about the replica backstage pass and the keychain and the bumper sticker. Couldn't care less.
Yeah, dust collectors, really.
Right? Or I don't even care about put a poster in it. What am I gonna? I'm not gonna take. I'm just gonna stay in the box set. I don't really care.
Yeah, exactly.
The books are interesting, but I buy them for the new or the I'll call it the other music that's on there. If it's live, oh, I'm all in because I love live anything. So
sure,
put something live in there. Fantastic, love it. The demos and the outtakes, that can be a bit of a slippery slope because I want to hear that. I want to hear demos and stuff. But you can get to the point where – and I'll use the Beatles Revolver box set as a bit of an example. There's some songs in there where there's, you know, 3 and 4 versions of the same song. And they're not – tremendously different. It's a different take. And you know, maybe the guitar part's a little bit different. And then the solo's 15 seconds longer.
Is it lyric changes? Lyric changes is kind of cool. Yeah, right?
It could be. Yeah. So I don't mind some of that, but if there's a ton of it and it's just nuanced differences, you kind of go, okay, well, how many times do I need to hear Yellow Submarine? Yeah. And I don't remember which tracks are repeated on there.
But as an example,
there's some that are, you know, there are multiple different incarnations. I'll go back to the Beatles again. You know, I think of one that's a perfect example is on Sgt. Pepper. There's, I think, like 4 versions of A Day in the Life. That's a very big orchestral song in its finished form. But the first version they present you is just John doing it acoustically. That's it. Yeah. It's as bare bones as you can get. And with each take, it builds considerably. And each is very, very different. And that's cool. To see a song, see the evolution of a song that complicated, that kind of stuff, I'm all in.
Yeah. And I agree. Yeah.
And I do like early demos because the demo is often, you know, a very stripped, bare bones, not even close to what the finished product is going to be. So I'm all good on that kind of stuff. But, I mean, it can very easily degenerate into here's just a bunch of takes and take 11 doesn't sound that much different than take 15. You know, so I think they got to be careful. But give me some goodies, live demos. Yeah, you've got to throw something in there to make it worth $200 or whatever.
That's right. Yeah. Don't give me 4 versions. Don't give me 4 versions of something for the sake of making a 5th album so you can charge me a little bit more, right? Like, give me one, pick one, pick your favorite. I don't care, whatever. Right. And because that part's cool. But see, I don't have a lot where there's a bunch of different takes. Like I said, a couple that I've got have a single different take, an acoustic version or one where there's like different lyrics and things like that. So there's, you know, there's, those are cool. Those are great. But with that said, again, you know, I have no aversion to the box sets that are just new cleaned up versions of a catalog up to a certain period. Like I said, that Van Halen one, you get a bonus album. You get that bonus album, but I don't have those two. So that's why I want to get that box set. And then I'll just sell, you know, the 5150 and the OU812, or I'll trade them to someone, or I'll give them away or whatever, because I've already got those. But rather than trying to find and or wait for the re-releases of those albums individually, I'll just pick it up in that box set.
And I think in some cases, the record labels might be smart or sneaky, depending on your perspective. I think they may dangle the carrot that those, you know, 1 or 2 albums in that box that has never been released before on vinyl is only going to be available in that box set, so that you have to shell out whatever they want for it.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Definitely. Yeah. I've got one by a Finnish metal-ish band. They're more hard rock than metal. Anyway, him. I think I told you about that. Yeah. I recently got that. And yeah, so they've got the one and they've said, okay, this is only ever going to be in this box set. And then the other 5 albums are, you know, are available elsewhere and you can get reissues of them. And they were originals. But that's what they've done is they've said, okay, this is only going to be in this box set. Is that good or bad? I guess it's good for them. And if you're one of the ones that bought one of the 2,000 and you ever get bored of it and you want to sell it, it's worth a whole bunch of money or something, I guess, right? So
thankfully, I've not had that problem where a band of mine has done that, because I mean, I'm not OCD by nature, but when it comes to my music, if that record is out there,
yeah,
for one of my favorite bands and I don't have it, it's like the itch you can't scratch. So oh, I would sure. have to go buy that damn box set.
So if Blue Rodeo puts out a box set and there is a different album that's never been released, you're going to buy that one, right?
Absolutely.
Probably, yeah. And then deal with the other ones. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And the other part of it, too, is, you know, we always talk about FOMO, the fear of missing out. Well, there's I kind of think of that sort of with box sets, too, because if I don't spend the money on, and I don't have a ton of box sets. I might have maybe 10, maybe 12.
Yeah, and that's about all I've got too. Yeah.
Right.
If you watch. Yeah. I've got one of my cubbies is full of box sets ish. And then there's one other one, but right. Yeah.
If it's a band I really, really love, it really bothers me to know if I don't have that box set, damn it, there's a box set out there of stuff that I don't have by this favorite band. And I'll give you a prime example. I'm a huge fan of The Darkness from England. They're kind of a...
Yeah. Do you watch Justin Rides Again? I love his podcast. He's so awesome. I keep meaning to bring him up to tell people, you got to watch this dude.
Justin Hawkins Rides Again. I'll put a link in the description.
It's great. He's taking a little break again, but yeah. He's good. He's so good. Anyway, he's go
very
ahead.
Good. Sorry. I've been a fan of The Darkness since day one. And when they announced back in the fall that they were going to put out an anniversary edition of Permission to Land, I was very excited because I didn't have an original press because they're very scarce. And then they announced that they were going to do the box set. And the box set is it's like 6 LPs or something like that. And it's the album, and then it's B-sides and demos, and then there's some live, like two discs of live stuff. And like that just got me salivating. I'm like,
sure.
You know, that's, and I, but I'm like, I don't, and I think it was $200. And I'm like, God sure, damn,
probably
I don't,
that. Yeah.
I don't know that I have, at that time, I'm like, I don't know if I have $200 to spend on this particular album. So it really bothered me.
Yeah.
I got the single LP so that I had Permission to Land on vinyl. But it really bothered me that I knew that that was out there and there was X number of discs of material by this band that I love that I didn't own. And it was literally the itch that I couldn't scratch. And I thought, well, maybe one of these days I'll find it for a steal on eBay or whatever. Well, Amazon Canada they were clearing it out and they marked it down like to about $110 or something like that, down from like $200. My wife bought it for me because she's amazing. And I've got it. Awesome. And I'm so glad that I've got it. But just that, that not anxiety, that's not the right word, but the anxiety of not, you know, a band that I absolutely love, there's stuff out there and I don't have it. And so it's kind of like, it's the box set FOMO is what I'm going to call it. You know, that bothers me. I mean, it may not bother everybody, but there's some bands that don't care. But, you know, be it the Beatles or the Darkness or, you know, if it was U2. For example, there's the U2 All That You Can't Leave Behind box set. It's 10 LPs and it came out years ago. I don't own it. I want it because there's a bunch of live stuff. Can't afford it. So
yeah, I know exactly, and I would get that one myself. But again, it's just a little much. What I do enjoy, or what I think that they've done right, at least the ones that I've got for the most part, Clapton and Springsteen are a different story again because they're more of the compilations. And you know, I haven't even cracked the Tina Turner yet. I'm not sure why I haven't. But again, it's probably the same. I can see the spines are all different colors. But what they've done for the most part, I think, in the box sets, like the Hymn one, it's actually still the whole album inside, album cover and the whole nine yards. It's not just, you know, here's the first 8 albums and we put them in different paper sleeves and that. So that I like that they do that, at least in those ones, where if it's the collection, you know, the first 8 or 10 or whatever, at least the ones that I've got. And I think for the most part, they're still giving you the full album art. There's the box, it's art, and then the box and the art inside as well. And that's good. That they need to keep doing that. I don't want them all of a sudden to go, okay, here's the first 5 albums and here's the inner sleeves from those first 5. And here's pictures of them on the cover. You got to keep putting the covers inside. And that probably keeps the price up as well. But still, if I'm going to bother, then I'll bother to pay the extra because I want the album art on the inside as well.
Well, you make a good point that the box set in and of itself is a piece of art. The album is a piece of art, but the box set is as well. Sure. And I do find from time to time that if I'm listening to a record, I will often pull out one of my box sets and be, you know, sit there and look at it and, you know, look at all the stuff that's in it while I'm listening to something else. So you're right. I appreciate it even necessarily when I'm not listening to it. So you make a good point there.
And I think they do, you know, again, I think they also do a really nice job. You mentioned the new booklets that come in a lot of the sets. Again, I think they do a nice job because they know they're not charging us $10 for these things.
Yeah.
They're giving us maybe information we didn't know. There's maybe some new stuff in there or a better history or there's stories of how they wrote the lyrics and things like that. So, you know, as long as they give me some of, again, it depends what I'm looking for out of my box set. Do I just need 6? I have 2 of the 8 albums by those guys I want. So I'm just going to buy the box set and deal with the other 2 duplicates. Or is this a box set of mostly new stuff and or it's a compilation and or it's, I'm a hip fan, you know, right.
Yep. And, yep. They did a box of all the albums, did they not?
They did that, but they've also done, you know, I think Fully Completely got a box set version, but there's the most recent one. It's got Music at Work on it. Good Lord. It's got the watches.
Phantom Power.
Yes, Phantom Power. Right. Yeah. Because I don't have that. And they haven't re-released it by itself, but they've re-released it as the $200 box set with a whole bunch of stuff. So, again, on the list, but I haven't picked it up yet. So
my friend Bob plays on that album.
Does he? Yeah,
He plays Pedal Steel on, I think, Wheat Kings.
Yeah, so that's one I need to get because I have almost all their stuff, but I don't have that. And the only re-release of it, because it's one of those $200-$300 originals, which I'm not opposed to, but I don't think I've paid more than $125 for an album. That's the most I think I've paid for an original or, you know, I mean, I've paid for box sets and that.
Yeah, of course.
But, and I don't even remember which one I bought. But anyway, I digress. But that's one, like I said, that I'd take just the album because that's ultimately what I'm after. But sure. I might as well get the box set because it gives me the album and it gives me, again, there is the other cool stuff in there, I think. So
yeah. Is there any box sets that you have or that you looked at that you really think they missed the mark on? Because I know there's a couple that I went, wow, they butchered that one.
Yeah, I guess I'm not it's not something that I have ever taken the time to focus on, I guess. I'm not sure why. I know they're there. I have some. I enjoy them, but I've never focused on it. So I don't know if I've ever picked one up and went, well, what the hell? What are you doing here? Right. And so an example of that for you would be what? Like they didn't put the things that you thought they should on them or?
There's two. And there's two. I mean, there's two that come to mind. And they're both the Beatles because they've done a lot of box sets for the latter half of their catalog. When they came out with the Let It Be box set, I think it's near perfect, but they missed the boat on really, I think there's two things that should have been there. So if you get the Let It Be Super Deluxe box set, you get the new Giles Martin stereo mix of Let It Be.
Yep.
Which is great. You get the original Glenn Johns mix of the album, which was never released, which is awesome. It's never, you know, there's bootleg versions of it, but you know, it's never been available.
Official, sure.
Right. And there's a disc, a couple discs of, you know, studio jams from the Let It Be session or the Get Back sessions, as they were called. And there's an incredible book. But they should have put the Rooftop concert in its entirety on a disc, and that should have been in there. And the Let It Be Naked mix should have been in there as well, because Let It Be Naked is impossible to find. It's a $400 record. Thank God I bought it the day that it came out.
Got it when it came out.
You know, yeah. 20 years ago or whatever. But those really should, and not that they missed the mark, but it could have been like 20 out of 10 is how good that box set would have been. But the other one that I think is just, and I may take some heat for this, an unmitigated failure in my mind, is the new Red and Blue albums box set that the Beatles put out.
Sure.
Because what they did is they've taken the Red and Blue albums, which were awesome to begin with. I mean, if you want a gateway to the Beatles, that's where you start, right?
100%. Yep.
Career-spanning retrospective. They put out in I think it was 2014, an all-analog remaster of both the Red and the Blue, and they sound awesome. Now they've taken the new version of this, those albums, put them together in a white slip case, and number one, it's a digital remaster. And I'm not one of these people that cares, but there is a large segment of the vinyl community that does seem to care about that. So
for sure,
you've gone from an all analog master to a digital remaster. That doesn't make sense. Then what they've done is they've added a bunch of songs onto those. And Red and Blue were done chronologically. So even when you start with the Red album, it starts with the first single and works all the way through the Blue album to the last single. What they did on the Red and Blue vinyl expanded editions, they didn't put them in, they didn't sequence the tracks. They just added an extra disc and threw the songs in there.
Yeah.
And I kind of go, it's a cash grab. To me, it's a cash grab.
Yeah.
And I was actually offended as a Beatles fan for this, because I own several copies of the Red and Blue albums already. And I'm like, I'm not going to go buy this again just because it's another remaster. Yes, the Red album has some new stereo mixes that were never available before. Do I really care about that? No. And it has Now and Then on there. Do I really care? No, I bought the single. But it just seemed to me like this last minute thrown together. I don't want to say cash grab, but it kind of has the feel of that. Like, it doesn't seem that there was a lot of thought put into it. You want to make an expanded Red and Blue, sequence the tracks properly. And if you're going to put Now and Then on there, which is the new single, why the hell isn't Free as a Bird and Real Love on there? You know, there's so much that they just could have done in it. I don't know if their motive was for it to be a cash grab or if it was just like a last minute, we got to get something on the shelves before Christmas. I don't know what the motive was there, but that's one that just really missed the mark in my mind.
So, as an example, two big Beatles fans, I don't have it. You don't have it. Nope. But if they would have packaged it as a box set and done it its own thing, you know, call it Now and Then, call it whatever, new artwork. It shouldn't have been the Red and the Blue album.
No, it shouldn't.
Right? It should have just been its own thing. Give me all the stuff you put on there and make it two or three. If you can come up with three, it doesn't need to be six, right?
Right.
Take the bonus and the different stuff and make it its own thing. And then I probably would have bought it because, you know, I know it's not, but in my mind, I'm buying the same damn album and I've already got the original copy and the analog copy, right? I've already got two or sometimes three because I've got the colored copies of the Red and the Blue, right?
Same here. So,
You know, you didn't even get me on the colored because I already got the colored.
Exactly. So
you should have just done it. They should have just done it as a whole new thing. So again, not marketing to you and me, marketing to the kids that don't have any Beatles albums right now, I think.
But here's the argument though. Are the kids that don't have any Beatles albums, are they going to, they were 100, even if you didn't buy them in the box set, you buy them separately. I don't know in the US, but here in Canada, where both you and I are, they're $100 to $110 each.
Yeah,
I don't know
that
the kid that's getting into the Beatles is going to buy that. I think they're going to find an old copy from the 70s or 80s and pay $20 for it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, I'm not, it's, if I find a copy of it somewhere for $50 just because somebody bought it and all of a sudden doesn't want it, sure, I'll buy it.
Same here.
But I'm not going to pay $110 to $150. I'm just not going to. Yeah. So I don't I think they could have, like I said, I think they could have probably sold a heck of a lot more of them, whether they care or not. They, of course they care. They're making money. Of course they care. But they would have sold to a lot more people. I think if they would have marketed it as its own thing, not a new version of the Red and the Blue albums.
Right. I agree.
Yeah.
But again, they sold truckloads of them. So what the hell do you and I know? Nothing is the answer.
Yeah, that's right. And I would like a locket of Paul's hair in each one.
Yes. Sure, why not?
I haven't seen any of that kind of stuff in a box set yet. Maybe. Have you?
No, never.
I know there's keychains. I can't remember what's all in the Pearl Jam one. I should pull it up.
The closest thing I ever remember seeing, I don't know if this is actually true, was there not a Kiss, and you're the Kiss expert, was there not a Kiss comic book back in the day that supposedly had blood in the cover or something?
Yeah, the very first one, because they did two, the Red one, the first one by Marvel. Well, they were both by Marvel, but how much? Who knows? And there was one batch. You can see them where they're at Marvel or wherever, and they're you can see them dripping a little bit of blood into the ink and stuff like that. So there's that, and there's those types of things. And again, I don't think they've done that. I don't think they've put a – I don't know. I thought Kiss was supposed to do some grand 50th anniversary box set out there, or at least I saw it. But I don't know if that was some dude that made some magical box that he did himself or whatever. But, you would think when it comes – because it will come. Gene will need to make more money. There will be the ultimate box set. It'll all come in the massive coffin.
Absolutely.
It'll have the pinball machine in the coffin. It'll have the comic books and anyway, yes, there was blood in the comic book, but like I said, there's always keychains, or as you said, there's the backstage pass replicas, things like that. So there's that kind of stuff. And again, hey, it's cool. And I looked at it once, and then it's back in the box.
If you're going to put the replica backstage pass in there, which would be what would be cooler is if they had, let's say they make 10,000 of these things and they randomly put in an actual backstage pass that's 60 years old or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah.
Put an not in every single one. That I'd be all over that. That'd be fantastic. Sure.
There's lots of ways that they could market them. Or, if the band is going out on tour, you put a real pass in there, right? So you buy the box set and you get a real pass to a show of your choice, and they have a section that, things like that. So there will continue. There's going to continue to be box sets.
Of course,
it's just the evolution of them. What are they going to do? I guess, right?
Well, so that leads very nicely into my last question: is there something you would like to see released as a box set?
I don't know. I assumed that might be a question, and I started to think about it. And personally, I've got more records than I need, really, for
don't
the most
we all?
Part.
Don't we all?
Yeah, but I can always use more. Don't get me wrong.
The same is true of guitars, right? It's funny.
Yeah.
The answer is how many guitars is enough? And the answer is, just one more.
Yeah, exactly. Just the next one.
Just the next one. It's the same with records. Yeah. Sorry to interrupt. Yeah. Keep going.
No, not at all. So there's not a band that I need a lot of their collection because I've got most of their collection. So I don't know. I guess the box sets that I look forward to that I'd like to see maybe is, let's bring up U2. There's a good example. If they did a 3 or 4 album live album set, and is that an album or is that a box set? They'll put it in a big box and things like that. I'd probably buy that. Now, with that said, I just said, why am I going to buy the Beatles? Because I have all that music. Well, I have all that music, but it's not live, right?
If
they did a 4-album live set, things like that. So
they could do something like with their stuff from the Sphere. They could make some kind of a live Sphere box set.
Exactly.
Sign me up.
Big friggin' Sphere
there
that lit up and yeah, exactly. And charge me $500 and I'll go and buy the damn thing.
Me too.
It'll be LED and it'll anyway.
Yep.
Merkin.
Yep. Absolutely.
So that's what I would look for, because again, there's not a lot of artists. You know who I would like, and he does have one, and I haven't bought it. I was going to say I'd like to see a Garth Brooks box set, but he has one. I just haven't bought it. So that's a bad example. That's just on me, not on him. So there's not a lot of bands, again, that I need a whole bunch. to in a box set that I don't already have a whole bunch now. But if but I'd like to see some live stuff. You know, do I want a whole box set of outtakes? I don't want that. But I'd take a whole box set like the Springsteen one, that five discs. I can sit down and I can listen to that from start to finish, and I'm completely happy with that. So that's the box sets that I'd like to see. Who I'd like to see? U2's an example, you know. Kiss, we've got a live one and two. There's some bands where they didn't put out a lot of live albums. Like Rush has a lot of live albums, sure. Right? I think every fifth one was almost live.
Yep.
So, you know, maybe bands like the Talking Heads. Could the Stones do a good live box set? Yeah, they could probably do a great live box set, right? Sure. And they've had lots of live albums and that as well. So it'd have to be interesting. And I guess I'd want some original concerts, again, if it was decent sounding. And then I'd want some newer stuff from them as well. So, you know, I just want it all, I guess.
Well, that's fair.
That was a long answer. Did I even answer the question?
Yeah, I think you did pretty good. Yeah. Okay. I can think of two that spring to mind. One of them is not going to mean much to anybody. You'll appreciate it, but most of the listeners maybe won't. You mentioned my favorite band, the Canadian roots rock institution, Blue Rodeo. I would love to see a career-spanning box set for them. For those that haven't heard of them, and if you're not in Canada, you probably haven't heard of them. They're legendary. They're in the Canadian Music Hall of Fame. They're a big deal. They have 14 albums, studio albums, a couple live albums. Three quarters of it is available on vinyl, and there's some of it that has never been released on vinyl. For various reasons, and I actually had a conversation with their management about it last week, which I won't share publicly, but nonetheless, it would be nice to get a box set of everything remastered. Now, they remastered the first five albums, which are their best, but it'd be nice to have a box of everything, you know, especially that middle career stuff that has never seen the light of day on vinyl would be fantastic. The other thing that I'd really like to see in a vinyl box set, I think it's high, and going back to the Beatles, I would love to see an expanded anthology box set. The anthologies came out in the late 90s. So
yeah, it was 98, 99, something.
So here's what I'd like to see them do. Take Now and Then, which was supposed to be on Anthology 3, and put it on Anthology 3. And then take Free as a Bird and Real Love and demix it with Peter Jackson's technology and remix it properly.
Yep.
And keep those three anthologies together. Throw an Anthology 4 in there, because Peter Jackson has bought the rights to the Beatles Live at the Star Club, that shitty recording, and he's using his magic to try and make that into something. But that's an incredible, time capsule piece. It's them in Hamburg before they were famous, and some of those songs have never been heard anywhere else. Put that in there and put the 15 songs from the Decca auditions and put that together and make that Anthology 4 and put it together in a big flipping box set. I would throw money at that thing so fast.
Here you go. Take my money.
Take it. Right? Take it.
Yeah. So. Yeah. No, exactly. And get some of that early live stuff. And like you said, have Peter or whoever get rid of the screaming. Like, give me the Hollywood Bowl. And I think he did, didn't he? Or
Giles Martin and George Martin did, I guess, before George. I don't know if George was involved or it was just Giles.
Yeah.
They tried and they did a reasonably good job 10 years ago, but.
Yeah. And I don't want them to mess with it so that it's not still that recording, right? I want it all. I want that recording without any screaming or minimal screaming or something, right? Yeah. I mean, the screaming is part of it. It will always be a part of it.
And it shouldn't detract from the music.
And it did, right? I mean, that's it was the music was underneath the screaming, right? I like I said, you could still have it in there because it's a part of the show.
Yep.
It's not a live show. If it's them playing live, it's a live show, but you have to have a little bit of audience, right?
Yep.
And you could just, I mean, Kiss did a great job of pretending it was a live album and mixing some stuff in there and doing a bunch of stuff and making it sound right with Alive 1 and 2 and 3 and all of that, right? But so that's, I'd like to see that too, I, you know, but that could be part of that. I mean, they could make, do they make one big ass set or do they make a couple of small sets and sell it all to us, right? I mean,
who knows? I'd like to see one big Uber deluxe, like 8 LP. Do all those things that we just said, and that I think would be fantastic. Doubt it'll ever happen. Maybe the Star Club thing might happen. Who knows? But
they're going to listen to this podcast, and they're going to go, you know what? Those two Canadians have a great idea.
Let's hire them to work in our marketing department.
Exactly. That's exactly what's going to happen.
One can dream. Well, right, Joe, that does it for our time today. Thank you so much for joining me. That went by in the blink of an eye, as it always does. So, thank you for sharing your insights with me. For those listening on the podcast that are not familiar with Racer Joe, I will leave a link to Joe's channel, Racer Records. Please check him out. One of the fastest rising stars in the vinyl community, as far as I'm concerned. A very knowledgeable guy and a hell of a nice person, and glad to call him my friend. So thank you, Joe, for joining me today.
Thanks, my friend. I appreciate it. Always a pleasure.
That will do it for this installment of the Vinyl Community Podcasts. Thanks, everybody, for watching and listening. Have a good night.